Our guest today is someone who's been a China watcher for some time.
I'm Nigel Inkster. I'm senior advisor on China and cyber at the International Institute for Strategic Studies.
The IISS is a leading security think tank in London, but it's really Nigel's previous job that makes him such an interesting China watcher. Nigel was director of operations for MI6, Britain's intelligence service. Yes, that branch of the British intelligence service. And for three decades, Nigel's specialty at MI6 was China. He lived through the chaotic Mao Zedong era, the crackdown in Tiananmen Square, the handover of Hong Kong from British to Chinese rule almost 10 years later. And these days, he's been focused on the Middle Kingdom's cyber operations, which, as we discussed in this week's Click Here episode, have been pretty aggressive.
I think now China is not particularly concerned with the reputational implications of doing what it's been doing.
From Recorded Future News, I'm Dina Temple-Raston, and this is Click Here's Mic Drop, an extended cut of an interview we think you might want to hear a little more of. And today, we're talking to Nigel Inkster about China's cyber operations and how they're changing.
What we saw in the past was pretty sloppy tradecraft, quite honestly. They are getting slicker and more sophisticated. They're expanding their range, so to speak.
Stay with us.
Hello, I'm Adam Fleming from the Global Story podcast from the BBC World Service. We are looking at Lina Khan, the face of the US government's battle to regulate big tech. She's already redefined the way we talk about monopolies. Now she's taking on the likes of Amazon and Meta. But who is she? And will she win? The Global Story brings you fresh takes and smart perspectives from BBC journalists around the world. Find us wherever you get your BBC podcasts.
Politics has never been stranger or more online, which is why the politics team at Wired is making a new show, Wired Politics Lab. It's all about how to navigate the endless stream of news and information and what to look out for. Each week on the show, we'll dig into far-right platforms, AI chatbots, influencer campaigns, and so much more. Wired Politics Lab launches Thursday, April 11th. Follow the show wherever you get your podcasts.
Blockchain, NFTs, AI. What does this mean for you and me? I'm Sherelle Dorsey, host of the TED Tech podcast, where we bring you the latest innovations and biggest ideas in tech. Tech is evolving fast and it affects our lives, from the metaverse to the watches on our wrists. You'll learn why people in AI make good business partners, about our future self-driving robo-taxi, what the next generation of Siri, Alexa, Google looks like, and a lot more. Find TED Tech on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen.
I'm Dina Temple-Rust, and this is Click Here's Mic Drop. If you could place Chinese hackers in the world of hacking now, is there something they do really well?
Well, I think that where China really differentiates itself is in the volume and intensity of activity that we are now seeing.
Nigel Inkster says if you compare China with the world's other great cyberpowers, they're all hacking in search of very different things.
Iran has an obvious interest in undermining and challenging the Western narrative where it is concerned.
This morning, a cyber group backed by Iran is taking credit for...
And if we look at North Korea, a lot of their state-sponsored cyber intrusions are about earning money. It's as simple as that. In Russia, we see a lot of cyber criminal gangs engaging in ransomware attacks.
And Black Hat is known as a Russian-backed ransomware.
Indeed, that's where I think the majority of them do come from. But in China, we've seen relatively little evidence of this kind of activity.
China is all about quantity, an incredible cadence of attacks.
So I think it really does boil down to the scale and pervasiveness of the activity, the broad range of topics, of targets that are involved, exceeds anything else that we have seen.
And we've seen evidence of that in recent weeks, not just the APT-31 cyber espionage operations we discussed in this week's episode, but the recent news that China state hackers had pre-positioned malware in U.S. critical networks, or had modified software in the world's routers, or its disinformation campaigns targeting the U.S. and Taiwan.
China has a rather more complex set of objectives. It doesn't want to generate instability for its own sake, but what it does want to do is bring about changes in the world such that China's ideology and interests are generally deferred to, and China is not subject to external criticism or challenge.
China's priority, in other words, isn't to steal money or destabilize its opponents. Instead, Nigel says China has greater ambitions to actually transform itself into a cyber superpower.
To catch up with and overtake the West and to establish China as a world leader in the next generation of advanced technologies.
That's why China's been so focused on AI, and why it's educating a generation of data and computer scientists to help it get a leg up. Chinese leader Xi Jinping has talked about adopting asymmetrical means to catch up with the West, to do whatever it takes to close the gap. And that doesn't mean just stealing chip designs or algorithms. China has been hoovering up the world's data for years now. Remember the record-breaking hack into the government agency that oversees federal employees, the Office of Personnel Management? Or the wholesale information grab from Marriott Hotels, all those credit cards and identification of its guests? Or how about the hit on the credit agency Equifax, which provided reams of financial information?
So I think they're just grabbing everything they can get, then, you know, deciding what utility it might have.
Like saving it for a rainy day, in a sense.
Indeed, yes. And, you know, I'm not sure that, you know, they themselves are always clear about what is going to be done with this data, but it's clearly going to be combined with other data for a variety of purposes.
China, experts will tell you, is incredibly good at data mining, to sift through reams and reams of information to find that little nugget of information underneath. So if you have personnel information from the Office of Personnel Management, you can start with a name, then paw through their personnel files, then use that to cross-reference their stays at a Marriott hotel, and then look and see who might have a little financial trouble. And you could build up a tidy little file on someone and figure out if they're an intelligence or maybe even vulnerable to an approach.
There is clearly a kind of warehouse or library, if you will, of malign exploits that the Chinese intelligence services and their contract hackers are able to access and determine which are best suited for their purposes.
And now, Nigel says China is adding election meddling to the mix, taking cues from Moscow.
I think it is the case that China is taking a page out of Russia's playbook. They have a common objective, which is to undermine Western liberal democracies. So it's a relatively easy area for them to collaborate on.
And they've even tried their hand at this recently with Kate Middleton.
The Duchess of, I can't even remember which one she is now. I don't follow the British royals very closely.
Kate Middleton is the Princess of Wales, and she became the subject of widespread online conspiracy theories after she had what the palace called an abdominal operation.
People are not believing that it's actually her. There's been a lot of crazy theories all over Twitter, all over TikTok.
When she was out of circulation following surgery, it was quite clear that a lot of disinformation about her condition, whereabouts, etc., was being put on the internet by Russia, but also by China. So that, I think, is a relatively new departure.
We know now, of course, that Kate was diagnosed with cancer, and she ended up having to announce that herself to quell the rumors.
We hope that you'll understand that as a family, we now need some time, space, and privacy while I complete my treatment.
But during that time of uncertainty, China helped fill the vacuum.
It's quite clear that there's quite a lot of exchanges of experience and capabilities between Russia and China in this area.
And yet, what seems even more alarming is that China doesn't seem to be very concerned about the world seeing them make this massive pivot.
China has gone beyond the point where it's really concerned about getting caught with its fingers in the till.
Engster says that's because, at this point, China sees this work as necessary for its survival. Chinese hackers have to gobble up technology and business intelligence to keep China's economy growing fast enough to prevent social instability. And now they've launched disinformation campaigns to rock the boat in the West so it can show its citizens that the Chinese Communist Party can offer them things democratic governments just can't, like social tranquility. And their hackers are going to have to find new and innovative ways to keep that whole program going. From Recorded Future News, this has been Mic Drop. It was produced, written, and edited by Kat Schuknecht, Lucas Riley, Sean Powers, and me, Dina Temple-Raston. We'll be back on Tuesday with an all-new episode of Click Here. In the meantime, have a great weekend.
Looking for more of the cybersecurity and intelligence coverage you get on Click Here? Then check out our sister publication, The Record, from Recorded Future News. You'll get breaking cyber news from reporters in New York, Washington, London, and Kyiv, among others. And you'll see for yourself why it attracts hundreds of thousands of page views every month. Just go to therecord.media.